Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And as we frequently do here on this show, we keep you up to date on recent economic trends. And today we have Robert Kudla with us from Trade Genius, and we're going to be talking about what's going on with the market both presently and his anticipated observations about what he thinks is coming. And we're also going to tell you maybe how you can make a little bit of money. And so there's a lot here to unpack. Let's go right to it. Bob, thanks so much for coming. I'm trusting you're back in the mainland now and your travels are over for a while. So really glad to have you here. And anyway, let's jump into this. A lot of people are leaving the market, but there seems to be really good opportunities right now. Can you kind of balance those two diverse observations and help us make sense out of it?
Yeah, so we're in a situation where Main Street and Wall Street are diverging, right? So, you have basically if you're making less than $150,000 a year, you're being squeezed into oblivion, okay? And the people that are primarily in the stock market are on the wealthier side of the social spectrum anyway. So they're still making good money. They're still employed. And the government and the banks and Wall Street are still pumping liquidity and derivatives into the market to basically, keep it from imploding. And if you notice, just last week, we had another all-time high in the S&P 500, but the top seven stocks now are accounting for 35% of the move. And so basically it's called bad breath. Get it? With a D in there. And you get to a point where it gets so vertical and so narrow that it's like a Jenga tower that eventually falls over. Most people, if they look at their 401k, aren't seeing the same results because they have a more diverse holding in their stock portfolios. And so we're in a situation now where the market could roll over at any time, except we're in an election year, and we're in a special election year because it's a election year of a first term president. And then we're in a super special election year because it's Donald Trump. And so there's going to be a lot of volatility if we get closer to the election. But so what happens though in these elections is that coming out of the end of June into Labor Day, you have a situation where the market on average has gone up 7%. And this is known as a blow-off top. And people always think, oh, the stock market just rolls over and dies. Well, it doesn't work that way. Big money needs what they call exit liquidity. They mean they need to find somebody that is intellectually, stock market-wise, dumber than they are, because they know what's happening. The dumb money, retail money, doesn't necessarily know what's happening. So they'll start lifting the price of stocks. They get people all excited about a new bull market coming. We have a soft landing coming. The Fed has won. They defeated inflation. In the meantime, institutions are selling those stocks to retail, and then the market rolls over hard. So that's what we think is going to happen. I'm not sure exactly when you're going to post this video, but Wednesday the Fed has an announcement, and we think they're going to be dovish. And if they're dovish, that you're going to start seeing the market start to rally hard, and they're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at this thing to get the liquidity that they need to reposition their portfolios, primarily into long-term bonds, and anticipation of the Fed starting to cut rates. So that's it on the stock side. So what we've been telling our clients is that we got to wait for tomorrow. And then the last thing we got to wait for is what they call the end of the quarter, rebalancing that they do. And then going into July and August, that we should see a substantial push higher in the market. You got to remember, the stock buybacks are only 20% of what their potential are. Janet Yellen has tools to be able to sell bonds at what they call short duration. And the banks that buy those bonds don't have to count that as liability on their books, and they can leverage those assets to actually buy more stock. And then there's a lot of cash out there yet, too. So we think this market's going to make a big pop. And then going in September, October, it's going to be choppy. And after the election, regardless of who wins, the market's going to roll over. So you think about it. If Biden wins, we're going to be full-on communism, whatever they call this thing that they're doing, full-on nihilism, I guess you could call it, of the country. And you're going to see people bailing out of the markets fast. If Trump wins, you know, the people are going to try to want to damage him right away and saying, hey, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. The stock market hates what he's doing. Look, he's already crashing the market, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to do like what they did 2016 with him, try to make his next 4 years miserable. All the while, we're slipping into an official recession. You know, a recession to me is that if you have two quarters of growth that's underperforming inflation, you're in a recession, and we're already there. You're starting to see unemployment rates starting to creep up. The government's trying to mask that by trying to overhire. The last thing that we've seen is trying to hire 100,000 government workers here to make it look like the employment reports are and employment is steady. So that's the backdrop. And what's going to happen here, Dave, is this is like a truck going down a steep slope, okay? And, you know, you're already past the brake checkpoint. So you better hope that your brakes work, which they're not. And we're going to go from inflation, and they're going to slide us right over to that runaway truck ramp. And this market's going to go into a hard stop. And we're going to go from inflation's a problem to, oh, my gosh, deflation's a problem. And we're going to find ourselves in a situation like we did, you know, back in 2001 and in 2008 and in 2020, where basically economic activity contracts sharply. And it's harder for them to fight deflation than it is to fight inflation. And I'm telling you, they're already late. And it's going to be a sight to behold. But I'm a trader. You know, and so there's going to be opportunities when that happens, too. We can talk about those a little bit.
Well, it's absolutely incredible what you're saying here to me, because, first of all, the economy is worse. The jobs report that came out, people are calling it fraudulent. And the jobs report was bad on its face. And yet people are still calling it fraudulent. And every time you turn around, 130 of these stores closed, 97 of those stores closed. Retail is in big trouble, and it's not going to any assist because of online delivery like Amazon and so forth. So people are shopping online. The picture is very, very bleak. Is the defense industry carrying the day at all to keep the economy afloat in preparation for war or supplying Ukraine?
Oh, I don't think so. You know, defense spending has been pretty steady at these high levels here for a couple of years. I think you need to set the war thing aside for a second. You know, it would be a Prague victory for Russia to do anything stupid. Okay, because one thing to go up against, Ukraine, it's a whole other thing to go up against NATO technological superiority across the wide front. And so, if I could diverge for a second here, look, I was in the military. Those HIMARS systems and the missiles that were given to Ukraine, that attack they did on the rail depot in I guess it's Belgorod, took out 4 miles of materiel that the Russians needed for the summer offensive. Okay, and basically, Russian offensive is at a standstill now. And now Russia has to stockpile beyond the range of the HIMARS missiles. Russia's not going to escalate that thing because those HIMARS missiles can hit Moscow, okay? So now they have F-16s, and then we're forward deploying F-35s along Poland, the Baltics, okay, Romania. And so, you know, it would be really interesting to see, you know, what Russia's going to try to do there, okay? So I'm not worried about war with Russia. Russia won't fight us directly. They won't fight us kinetically. you notice they're doing a lot more cyber stuff, right? You know, Schwab was down this morning. Last week, AT&T was down. You know, the day before that, you had something else down. So they're gonna attack our soft underbelly of infrastructure, and that's where that's gonna go. So, but stepping back into the economy is that, you know, we do a podcast every day, and today we're gonna talk about retail sales have been flat for this year, dead flat. Okay, that precedes a recession. Home unaffordability is at peak levels, the third time in the last 40 years. That always precedes a recession.
Can I ask a question about that, Bob?
Yeah.
Is that home unaffordability, is it directly related to institutional buy-up of real estate at inflated prices?
That's part of it. The other part of it is that, you know, when you have 7%, 8% mortgages, when you had 3% mortgages, nobody qualifies for a mortgage. So basically what it does is it threw sand in the gearbox. So you don't have enough inventory of affordable homes. Investors are still snapping these homes up because, you know, there's tax advantages of owning rental real estate. A lot of really wealthy people, you know, sit there, hey, look, we can sit in a home for 10 or 20 years and then sell it for inflation, right? So you know, you have some of that, a lot of foreign buyers. In this country, the wealthy immigrants, they like real estate and gold over the stock market. So in my neighborhood where I live, homes are still flying off the shelf. Okay, it's coastal Southern California. People are moving up. Believe it or not, there's people moving from Tehran with wealth to the United States, buying homes for cash.
Why?
They want to get out of Tehran. And so you remember in Tehran and some of these big cities around the world, real estate's much higher than the United States. They view Orange County, California as a bargain. They can't believe our real estate's that cheap. You know, when in Tehran, my home in Tehran would be worth $5 or $6 million. Okay. If it's even available, you only could get apartments. And so when these people leave and they sell their property in Tehran or in other capitals like Hong Kong or in Seoul, Korea, you know, or Tokyo, they're coming to properties that are less expensive, you know, and so they just snap them right up.
It's amazing. So you're saying the wealthy are fleeing Tehran because you said they want to get away from there. What are the top reasons why they're escaping their own country?
Oh, well, you know, it's interesting because I live in a neighborhood with a lot of Persians. So mostly it's economic. One guy was a doctor. He just retired. His kids were already in America. He sold his practice. He sold his building and he came here. The other one, his children were already in America. He retired and came here. So they're retiring and leaving. They're not necessarily leaving the regime, although they're not for the regime. So those are the people that I've talked to. People, the Chinese have dried up a little bit, but people from India are coming here. And they're coming here mostly for economic reasons, too. And they're just buying the properties. They just come in and boom, 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 buy them right up.
Yeah. You know, those are the kind of immigrants that we need because we're not going to have to be paying for them out of our tax dollars because they're self-supporting.
Yeah. Well, we're bringing enough of the other kind in. Although, have you saw the... You saw the French election coming.
I saw.
So, look, I think all this is moving hard right. You know, that person becomes prime minister. You heard what he said. We're sending everybody home. Everybody. You know, you don't belong here. This is not your country. I don't know who invited you in. And that's what Trump is saying, too. So I think what we're seeing here is, and that usually precedes a fourth turning. You know, people should know what fourth turning is by now, is that people oblige liberal policies when you're making money and you're working and you're busy and you don't really pay attention to their nonsense. But when you have inflation, you lose your job, they get even crazier. Then people like say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. We didn't ask for this. What are you doing? People start paying attention. I have a phrase I tell my wife all the time. Things don't matter to people until they matter to people. And that's what's happening now. And you're first because it's more acute, but United States is coming too. I mean, even some of these cities that have become, you know, hotbeds for this are drowning. You'll see cities in this country in the next 5 years, major cities go bankrupt. And you'll see states go bankrupt because of those cities. I'm talking New York. I'm talking Illinois, potentially even Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You know, these cities are hurting, California. And so that's going to be a major problem. And people that are living in those cities are getting pretty angry right now. So I think we're going to see probably a hard turn to the right. That's not necessarily good, although politically it's more appealing to me. But usually that usually comes with violence. And I think we're going to see some violence in this country.
Well, I think regardless of which way the election goes, and to me, that might be the barometer. I don't care who wins. I think there's going to be a problem. In fact, I understand the Democrats already have 100 lawsuits ready if they lose.
Yeah, but if they lose, they're going to lose because the Supreme Court is run by the right. And look, they're in survival mode, too. People, you know, these people aren't robots. They're sitting there. They understand what the left is saying about them. So they're not going to agree to any of that stuff. You know, so, you know, you got to worry more about, they have to worry about Trump not leaving office. Macron says if he loses the election, he's not leaving no matter what. So, you know, it's always.
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that, Bob. He really said that?
Yeah, he said that. He's president, though. So president's not as strong as prime minister in terms of voting. But yeah, he said that. So, yeah, it's always, the left always changes the rules when they're affected by it. But look, it's happening. And we have a lot of excesses here. So my view is that over the next 2 to 3 years, we'll see interest rates fall again. Look, stuff needs to be reassessed, right? You know, the kids can't afford anything. Businesses can't afford the rent. So what's going to happen is that you get enough vacancies, new people buy these properties, they're going to lower the rents, which is going to cause more bankruptcies in these commercial real estate. It's going to lower the rents. And then you get a reassessment. But that's a five to 10-year process.
And isn't the elephant in the room, though, the debt?
What's that?
The national debt. Isn't that the elephant in the room?
You know, yes and no. Yes for every other country in the world. No for the United States, because we're the reserve currency. And until we lose that status, you know, it's going to be a yin and yang between inflation and deflation.
Well, we have, by my count, 59 nations who are either in the BRICS or contemplating coming to the BRICS.
More people are using the dollar for settled transactions than ever before.
So am I the victim of mainstream media propaganda?
Yeah, it's a bunch of noise. Okay. People just don't get it. They don't get it. I think people are so desperate to take the dollar off the thing, even people in this country, because they're so pissed off at the Federal Reserve. But that's not life. And so look, you have the Bank of Canada and the ECB are already cutting rates. So that makes the dollar even stronger. And you got to remember too, when debt gets extinguished, either through paying off or bankruptcy or default, the dollar gets stronger.
Yeah.
So it's just that people don't quite understand how currencies work. You know, currencies is what the mint produces and what the banks produce. And if money supply collapses, the dollar gets stronger because there's less of them. But it also means the stock market will collapse too.
I agree with that. But tell me, is it not true that the Federal Reserve needs inflation to keep the dollar afloat?
Not really. They need a trade deficit to keep the dollar afloat, because we need more people using the dollar. So, inflation keeps the banks afloat. Okay. Because you want to inflate away the debt. You never want to worry about default. Okay. But you got to remember, if the money supply starts to collapse, they're just going to throw money at the problem, Dave.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, in fact, this is the first time in 4 years that the money supply is actually starting to increase. So inflation is not necessarily rising prices. It's money supply times velocity over productivity.
Yeah.
So that's what you really have to look at. And so, you know, if Trump gets in, he's going to bring more businesses back home.
That's true.
And, yeah. But, you know, Biden's doing a little bit of that too. So, you know, they're going to do it by necessity. And so I'm not worried about the dollar shouldn't be our biggest worry. The biggest worry is that we're having enough of an inflation that's just going to basically destroy the middle class. That's my biggest worry. And that's the thing that I'm screaming at people. There's ways to protect yourself in this environment.
Yeah. And see, that's where I want to kind of do a little flip here and do a right turn, metaphor, literal. You know, people say, okay, I'm going to buy gold and silver. That's good. I think you should. But that only preserves what you have. It doesn't increase it. And then you've got crypto. And yeah, if you're on the right side of things at the right time, you could make a lot of money. But it's so volatile, people are hesitant to jump into that. So then that kind of leaves us with another option here, the stock market. And Americans are kind of apprehensive and fearful right now. So compared to these other vehicles of investment and the fact that people need to generate income to keep up with inflation, talk about the stock market a little bit. What's going on there?
Okay, so look, there's two things you gotta think about. So there's people that are building long-term wealth but don't need income. Okay, and that's when you look at, you know, over the next 20, 30 years, you know, what is the best preservation or builder of wealth? And it's always been the stock market. Okay. So it always beats everything. Now, Bitcoin's a new phenomenon. It's been out, 13 years. It's beating the stock market, but you got to remember the first 5 years had a meteoric rise. So, but I have a philosophy on wealth. You know, I can live in a $5 million home and be dirt poor unless I sell the home. See, you know, there's, you know, to me, assets don't help me unless I can monetize them. And so there's a subsection of stock, you know, market is that either you're trading to generate cash, you're creating sold calls to generate cash, or you're generating dividends to create cash. And for me, I view the stock market as a very, very highly liquid rental property. And so for me, I'm saying, okay, if I'm going to put $100,000 in the market, okay, I want a yield that I can draw out. I may not need it for today. So then maybe I'll reinvest it back into the stock market, or I need some of it or all of it for today, and I'll draw it out to live on. And so, you know, we look for those opportunities in the market to basically say, how do I maximize my yield of the investments that I'm doing? That's why I'm a trader and not necessarily an investor, but I'm not necessarily a day trader either. So I want people to understand, you don't have to be sitting at the computer all day long to generate really good wealth. And there's some really, really interesting products out there today, ETFs, that generate really, really good returns. I mean, you know, 15 to 100% annualized returns, because they utilize that principle of call selling and derivatives and dividend buying. And they treat those at dividend rates. And you can go long the market that way, you can go short the market that way, or you can go neutral the market that way and generate an income or what they call drip it, reinvest it back in and grow your wealth that way. So there's a lot of ways in which you could care less about the market, is what I'm saying, and just trade these instruments and to drive wealth or to drive income. And you can outperform inflation that way. You could do it in the bond market. They have products for the gold and silver markets. They have products for the Bitcoin market, got products for energy. And these are the kind of things that we trade all the time. And then also too, if there's volatility in stocks, that's our friend in the market. And when the market rolls over, there's products to look at it on the other side too. You know, this stock, Tesla's too overexpensive. Well, there's a way in which you can short Tesla without having to short the market. And then you get a yield from that. So all I'm really saying here is that people, don't be passive and don't be a victim. You can outperform the market. You can outperform the inflation. And you can outperform a market crash if you just know what stocks or ETFs to buy. And, you know, humbly, we think we have that pretty wired.
Yeah, but all entities in the market aren't created equal. In fact, I got an attaboy you sent me here from Ace JV. He said, well, before I started Trade Genius, I tried my own strategies and I lost 18,000 in 30 minutes playing options. So you've got to be careful. So if people are saying, okay, Dave, crypto's too volatile, gold and silver. Yeah, I do it, but I know I'm only going to hold on to my wealth. I need to increase it because of inflation. What do you tell them about what they need to be doing? You mentioned energy. Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, we think there'll be a Bitcoin surge, you know, so there's going to be an opportunity there. Look, we're going to roll from energy into bonds. That's going to be the big play, and then tech's going to be shorted. So that's kind of the scenario at the next 18 months, and there's trades in each one of those scenarios. And in fact, at some point, you may be trading all three of those, long energy, long bonds, and short tech, at the same time, depending on what our algorithm's telling us what to do. And so that's what we tell people is that, look, you don't have to do crazy. You don't even have to have crazy risk on to be able to generate really good returns. You know, it's just that it's the old adage, you know, you're buying low and you're selling high. And in our situation is that we add a few caveats to that to make sure that, you know, we see the momentum and we see the buying power coming in to give us a higher than average win rate and a higher than average, what you call profitability factor, so that we could drive our wealth forward over time. And that's the tools we help people do. We give them access to that system. We put trades out every day. We have chat rooms for people. They can do training with us in addition to the tools that we give them and the training tools that we give them. And we really equip them to be a smart, sensible, effective trader over time. And we do it all at a very modest cost.
Okay, so you get kind of people in-house, and then you train them on how to make money in the market. And I know you've got an algorithm you use. How does that play into when people come to Trade Genius, join up and say, okay, I need to outpace inflation and my job's not doing it? What do you teach them?
Well, we give them access to it. We teach them how to use it. So I don't have to be the guru in the room, right? If I go on vacation for 2 weeks, people have all the tools to be effective, right? So, you know, we teach them how to use the tool. I put trades out every day so that people can earn while they learn, if you will.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, I have people with me for years that don't do any charting at all. They just take my trades. I have other people that take hardly any of my trades, but they like the tool. I have people that don't use either one. They want to be in the chat room because they want to keep their pulse on what's going on in the economy and the market. So we provide people three ways in which they can be effective. And look, you can join me tomorrow. The next day, you could take a trade. I say it takes 3 or 4 months to get comfortable with how the system works, you know, over time. Because you have to, you know, just like, a bad golf swing, you got to kind of unwind your bad habits as you get into new good habits.
I hear you.
Yeah. And look, I'm extremely conservative. You know, we're not chasing penny stocks every day. We're not even chasing the high flyers every day. We're chasing good stocks that are ready to rotate higher. And, you know, our average trade is 3 or 4 days, but we have some trades that have been for years. So, you know, you'll find your speed limit, and that's what you'll settle into over time. But, you know, we're always communicating with people about where we think the hockey puck is going so people can get their watch list set up so they can be watching different trades. And we have a great community of traders in the room. I mean, there's some people that are much better traders than even myself that are sitting in these rooms and are happy to share. You know, so it's not a win-lose situation. It's win-win. And, you know, we all kind of lean the same way philosophically. So you're in a nice, safe place with comrades in arms, if you will.
I hear you. Okay. I'm going to read one more thing here. It was sent to me by your group, and it relates to Trade Genius. It says, yep, there seems to be so many people over 50 losing their jobs, good paying jobs that are harder to replace. And for job hiring, this age group in the professional arena isn't as easy to get hired back into their professions because younger generations are able to take a smaller salary as they are beginning their careers. Dividends plus Bob's Picks literally have changed my life and my family's life. What an upturn with how we were feeling a few months ago. Okay, so this is what I want to unpack, because this is an opportunity I want to make available to my audience. And I'm comfortable with your reputation, Bob, because I've known you for years and I know you've helped a lot of people. But what does it cost to get into Trade Genius and start making these, have these experiences that I'm reading about here?
I mean, look, you could get in for $300 to $400 a year, you know, and we put a really good discount with your, you know, from your landing page. I think you have a Trade with Dave. Is that your?
It's, the coupon code is DaveLovesTrading.com.
Yeah. So if you go to that site, we already discounted pretty aggressively for your listeners. And so, I mean, that's nothing. You're talking $25 a month to learn how to trade. You know, you pay it annualized, and then you get access to all our tools and systems, and it's a really effective program. And like I said, you know, we've been getting a lot of these attaboys. Those attaboys are just from the last couple of weeks. You know, those aren't stale, you know, and we got two or three of these that, Bob, I lost my job, and the only reason why I'm surviving is because of the tools that you taught us. And, you know, I mean, to me, that's worth gold. I mean, that's just amazing to hear. Look, I live on my trading, so I totally understand it. And so, and I like to go to bed and sleep at night, so I don't put anxiety-inducing trades on. There's ways in which you could do that. You'll be shocked. The reason why rich people are rich, because they set up systems to be able to effectively make a lot of money over time that you don't get access to. And now they're starting to show up, and we can teach people how to use them.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So for $25 a month.
Now, just remember, you have to pay it up front. Okay, it's not.
Yeah. But
it's an administrative nightmare for me to manage it monthly.
Yeah, I'm talking about cost averaging it out. So you said $25 a month is the cost average. So when people come in, if you were to take a median approach, and I know you're going to be all over the board with this is a bad question, but people are going to wonder this if I don't ask it. So if people come into Trade Genius, they pay that minimum fee, and they're learning while they go. They got access to people who know what they're doing. You're giving them trades as well. Okay. When they're 4 or 5 months out and fighting to keep up with inflation, what does the average person look at for return?
Well, I'll just read it to you. So, you know, over the last 4 years, okay, we've recommended out, you know, 1,194 trades. 805 of them are winners, 67.42% win rate.
Wow.
Okay, the average net gain, including losses, is 0.7%. Average holding day is 3 days, which gives you an annualized of 72.6%. Now, that's assuming you're 100% invested. So I say just chop that in half, okay? And that, you know, you should be gliding, you know, basically, you should be doubling and tripling what the stock market's doing.
Wow.
Remember, you're an active trader, okay?
Okay.
And there's ways you do this that, you know, a lot of this is coming from actually the dividends and the sold calls that are wrapped in these products. So it's really a lower risk, okay, low time sink. You know, you could literally trade, come 2 hours in the morning, 1 hour in the afternoon, rest of your day is yours kind of environment, Dave. Yeah. So that's it. I mean, it's a long-term average. I mean, and so look, I'm not a money manager. Okay. I don't know your situation. I don't know how much you invest on a trade. I don't want to know. I don't care. I don't know your risk tolerances. All I'm telling you is that if you use these tools consistently over time with good trade management, and we give stops and targets out too, okay, for accountability for myself, is that you can't help but make money over time. And that's, look, that has been through the 2018, you know, 2021 COVID crash, the whole nine yards. And we're going to see the same results as we go into a bear market. We'll just be trading different things.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I For me, if I was living hand to mouth, and I'm lucky enough I'm not at that level, but if I was living hand to mouth, I'd be looking for something that's going to boost me ahead of inflation. Is this a comment that you hear from people that stay with you?
It's
That
the number one. It's the number one concern on people's mind is how to stay ahead of inflation, even more so than losing my job.
Yeah, that's yeah, and to me, this is kind of the promise of this. And here's something else that someone's going to think to ask, so I may as well ask it. For the people that come into Trade Genius, because it's not going to be for everybody. No one thing is for everybody. But do you have any figures on what percentage of people stay with you over time?
Yeah, it's hard. We probably retain about a third of the people year over year, which I'm told is double what normally happens in these environments. So, we have people with us 5, 6, 7 years, but that's what happens. People's life changes, or they got confident enough they don't need us, but that's a pretty good return of subscribers. So we're happy with it. They definitely don't leave because we don't make them money. So they're probably leaving for other reasons.
Retail would love to have those numbers. I'll just say that. They would love to have that repeat business. That's to me, that's really interesting. With regard to the people that come in, do you have a demographic profile? I mean, occupation, income, age. Have you done any statistical analysis of people come in with this?
Almost, I would say 100% of our clients are probably, actually 95%, just probably an exception out there I don't know about, are 45 years and greater. Most of our clients are probably 55 and greater. It's more male than female, although females are better traders than men, less emotion involved, less pride,
Really?
more analytical. And primarily English speaking world. Those are our clients.
You get international at all?
We do. Canada, England, Australia.
Yeah. The Kanzik nations,
I don't
yeah.
know anybody in New Zealand, though. What's that?
Yeah, the Kanzik nations, as we call them. Yeah. Yeah, I
Oh,
hear
we have
you.
United Kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not surprising. I'm surprised that some Europeans haven't jumped in big numbers because, first of all, most of them have 8 years of English in their educational background, so they could communicate. And
Well, it's part of
secondly,
it. Part of it's getting access to the stock market. Do they have programs to, can they trade the United States and stuff like that? It's a hassle for some countries to get access to our markets. So, and and a lot of those people, they have pensions from the government, they have pensions from work. It's a different mindset. The Five Eyes countries are most interested in the stock market.
and so that was going to be my next question here. You mentioned pensions. Do you have a guesstimate on how many people are doing this that are on fixed incomes and inflation's just killing them?
I'm sure more and more. I mean, that comment that you read out, that I have four or five of those in the last month of people losing their jobs. Some guy's been out of work for over a year, and if he hasn't been able to trade enough. If you're old enough and you lose your job, you're gonna be able to pick up some Social Security, and if you could supplement it and you don't live in California, or New York, you probably can get by, or you sell your house and you move somewhere less expensive.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, a lot of people are doing that too. Yeah, there is. I know there's a little bit of an exodus going on with Florida because of housing costs now because of that. First, they went away from the
I
blue
mean, look.
cities, but
I always tell people probably the best place probably to move in the country value wise is probably Southeast Kansas, especially if you want to have a farm, right? So a lot of areas, look, Florida is basically too far too fast. A lot of issues in real
yeah.
estate in Florida right now. Especially if you're in a condo, you can go bankrupt because the condos have to re they have new laws on make sure that the buildings are structurally sound. And so there's no safe place in Florida right now. Homeowners insurance association fees are killing people in Florida right now. I'm sure your Florida listeners are probably nodding their heads. So, you know, California, it's just too expensive to live here. New York, too expensive to live. Well, upstate New York. Places you don't want to live in California and don't want to live in New York are relatively inexpensive, you know. And then some of the other places are just are getting too crowded. Like, look, Phoenix and Las Vegas are canaries in a coal mine for the housing market. And both of them are now exploding supply right now. So I think it's really, you know, really no safe haven. I mean, if you could sell and you don't like to live in California along the beach, you know, you can get out of the area and you can rent pretty reasonably, you know, while you figure out life. Or some people just get an RV and drive around.
Yeah.
That's more the exception than the rule.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. I wonder, do you have any traders that travel in their RV and they do business from the RV?
Yeah. They tell us all the time. They tell us, hey, we're here, we're there, we're everywhere. My brother retired, you know, he has a house, but he left California, bought a home that was one-tenth the price of the home he had in California, and it's the base of operations, and he travels. I talk too much during the day, I'll lose my voice, but he travels probably 6 months of the year. So, you know, they call them digital nomads, right? I just posted a thing in the room where you can live in, like, you can go to Mexico and live for 4 years as a digital nomad. El Salvador, 4 years. Hungary, 3 years. You know, my best friend's nephew is Romanian, and he's out here visiting. He has a nice apartment in Bucharest, Romania, $65,000. So, you know, you could go to places like Hungary, you know, and Poland. And I was looking at property in Bavaria, you know, like a long-term rentals you'd be shocked how cheap they are. So, I mean, so there's, you know, if you truly, truly, truly want to get away and manage your life more cost effectively, you have to be willing to give up what you had, but there are ways to do it, you know, and still live first world lifestyles, if you will.
Yeah. That's to me, that's really, really interesting. The last question I have for you on the strategies of what Trade Genius does is, you know, I know there's no one answer here, but if someone were to come in, they're going to ask the question, okay, well, I'm still working. So what's the time commitment for me to be successful for the average person of average intelligence and average knowledge of the stock market coming in? What would that be?
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, you can be a full-time trader with 2 hours in the morning and 1 hour in the afternoon. Okay. We have a lot, I would say half our customers work. So, you know, it'll probably take some evening time to understand how things work, but all our stuff is, you could be on a mobile app and trade it. So that's not an issue at all. You know, we have people that, well, if you live in California, you could trade an hour and a half where you have to head into work, right? So, a lot of guys will take breaks and put their trades out. And we send everything electronically. So the trades that we put out, people get notifications on their phone. They can look at it, go to their other app, type the trade in, and go right back to work, take you 30 seconds.
So you can do this from your phone?
Oh, yeah. And these aren't our apps. I mean, you know, so, you know, your broker has a phone app. TradingView has a phone app or an iPad app. We send things out on Discord, which has an app. So it's, you know, it's, so everything's app centric. So really easy to use.
Yeah. There's a lot that I think is really appealing here to this. I think it's just something that people need to do. And here's another thing that people say to me, and I laugh at them inside when I say it, the stock market's going to crash. As long as the rich elite are making money off the stock market, it ain't going anywhere. You just got to figure out where the money's at. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. And look, if the stock market crashes, the bond market's going to rip.
That's
so
true.
So it's really a question of, and if the stock market crashes and the bond market crashes, energy markets are going to rip. So, you know, so there's all.
Yeah. The one thing too, I mean, you've told me in the past, am I right in assuming that your trade life, when you go and you say, okay, we're going to do this trade, that you're in it a lot less time than, say, your competition? Would you agree with that?
You know, I had a low bandwidth reading, so I missed the question.
Okay. All right. Because I know you've told me you just follow the algorithm. When it says sell, you sell, and there's no hesitation.
Yeah, I call it see trade, take trade. So a lot of people agonize. You know, if I see a buy trade, I buy it. If I see a sell trade, I sell it. You know, not necessarily short it, but I mean, just get out of my trade. Even though if I had a different stop and target, I'll just adjust because the market is smarter than you are. So just go with the market. I trust my algorithm enough to know that it's smarter than I am. And let's say I'm wrong. Let's say it shoots up from there. So what? Move on to the next trade. Okay. So, you know, you have to kind of be emotionally neutral when you
I agree.
trade.
It's like the next jump shot. When
Yep.
I became a decent shooter in playing basketball in high school and college, I had to develop the mentality. I missed three, I'm going to make my next three. And you have to have a real short memory. And I would assume the same thing is true here.
Yeah, look, I mean, if you play baseball, you know, if you
Yeah.
win one out of three times, you're an all-star.
That's true.
So, you know, so it's really, you know, and look, I mean, the best quarterbacks, you know, miss four out of 10 throws. So, you know, these games, it's called trading, not collecting for a reason, right? So, you know, what you want to do is you want to win more than you lose, and when you win, you want to win more money than you lose money. And that's how you gain over time. You literally have to have a thick skin. In fact, the worst thing that can happen to you is you join Trade Genius and your first two or three trades are winners, right? Because then you think it's really easy. And then you go into a situation where maybe we reversed and you get disillusioned. It's always smart just to keep a level head because over time, the system works. And you just got to trust the system.
That kind of self-deception is also true in coaching, I can tell you, because I've experienced it as a young coach. You were ringing doorbells there. Well, I really appreciate you coming on and not only sharing what's going on with the market and the economy and so forth, but I think it was good for people to take a look inside of this. But I did have one other thing I'm curious about. You're unique compared to the rest of regular brokers and people that take people's money and invest it for them. There's a lot of difference here between what you do and what they do. Do you have any other entities that you're aware of that do some of what you do? They emulate the Trade Genius model?
I'm sure there's other trading services out there. A lot of people that we've seen come and go just promise people enormous riches, and they charge a lot of money for the service, and they count on, you know, them making a lot of money and just keep churning people. So I think there's one or two other people that are pretty good. I don't see them online anymore. You know, we've been doing this for 10 years. I think we're successful because we underpromise and we overdeliver, and we don't charge a lot for the service, and we truly, truly help people. People say we're a white hat out there. And so even my dog agrees with me.
Yeah, I hear that, you know.
Wife's feeding him right now. So,
Bob, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your insights here. And this, we talk about going into Trade Genius. It's not going to be for everybody, but I'm telling this is a dimension that a lot of people are leaving out on how to beat inflation. And I tell you, people really should take a good look at it. You can go to.
I think people would be shocked to find out what they're missing by not using some of the tools that we're using. I think they'd be shocked
Well,
all the money they left on the table over these years.
it's all, here's how I think of how you've described this over the years. You've got a recipe that works, and you've quoted the figures 67, 72% success, and so forth. And you quoted those figures today. And so, if people just come in and follow the recipe book, they're going to make money over time. There's going to be pluses and minuses, but there's going to be a lot more pluses than minuses. And they just basically have to learn how to follow directions. That's my take.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the biggest mistake traders make is they get greedy or they're afraid they're missing out because they saw the, look, GameStop thing was a classic example. People piled in last week into GameStop because it was going up 400 or 500%, and the guy is going to do an announcement on Friday, and GameStop's going to go through the roof. And what do they do Thursday night? They announced a secondary offering, and GameStop collapsed. All these people that rushed into it just lost their shirts. And so, you know, we stay away from that kind of crap. You know, we're trading mom and pop, blue chip names, names that you'd recognize. You know, all we want that stock to do is have good movement and like a sine wave, and you just trade the sine wave and you're going to make money. So
no, I think that's tremendous. Well, again, if you want to know more about this, I would say go to DaveLovesTrading.com. It's something that we believe in here at the Common Sense Show. And I think Bob provides a great service. And Bob, I want to thank you very much for coming on. It's been very useful and valuable.
Yeah. And if people go to TradeLikeAGenius.com from this show, tell them that you heard it from Dave so that I can give him credit and financial support. So, you know, we support his channel this way. And in this way, it's a win-win-win. Dave wins, you win, and I win. And we all can make money together. So,
that's right.
Dave, thanks so much. Maybe next month I'll show my charts and show people how the algorithm works.
That would, you know what, we've talked about the algorithm for years and I've never seen the charts, but I can't wait to see. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, let's do it. I did it for somebody else last month. People loved it. And you'd be shocked. It's so easy to see and use, and we try to make it Bob proof. So it works pretty well.
Hey, on a personal note, my wife and I kind of fell into a trip, and I really literally mean we fell into this trip, and we're going to the Big Island, and I know you've been there. I've never been to the Big Island. Give me two things to do on the Big Island.
Well, for sure you want to go over to the where are you staying on the Kona side?
Yes.
Okay. You definitely want to go over to the Hilo side, number one. That'd be fun. You definitely want to take the coffee tours. We've been going there for 30 years. We still take the coffee tour every time we go. It's okay. Beautiful. You know, and you're in the coffee belt right there. If you're far north, you got to drive south, you know, into the coffee belt. If you're up in the Kahala area, if you're in the Kahala area, you go up to Waimea. That's cattle country. It's this beautiful drive. You definitely have to hit the beaches up north. They're awesome. And then, you know, like I said, Hilo, the volcano's been puffing out some smoke here too. So, you know, if you head to Hilo, you know, you can take the saddle road over and you get there in an hour, or you can take the scenic route, take you about 2 hours and you go past Volcano National Park.
Yeah. We did that kind of strategy when we stayed on Mount. My wife used to get sent for her job as a reward for things she'd do. She used to run concessions for the NBA, the NFL for their All-Star game, Super Bowl. So we used to go there almost every year. We got spoiled and all expense. But we'd take back roads to Hana as much as you could on Maui. And you'd stop and they'd have these ropes hanging down from branches. You could swing across these waterfalls. I mean, it was fantastically beautiful. And the thing that was amazing, they had vendors on the side of the road. They wouldn't even be there. They'd say, this is $3 if you take this coconut, and God cares if you don't pay. And so we'd leave our money and a tip. And we take the coconut and move on. I love coconut, but the Hawaii culture is really, really unique. After what happened to Lahaina, though, it's going to be a while before I can go back to Maui. I mean, it just broke my heart to see what
happened. Yeah, my business partner lives, he's from Hawaii, and so he's actually back there for the summer. We're going to go to Maui next February just for that reason. They say they're really hurting over there right now.
Yes.
The big island, the resorts in Maui are at 39% occupancy rate. I mean, it's really a disaster over there. You know, the big island, you know, if you're in Hilo and you take the North Road home, you get the same thing. Maui and the waterfalls and the creek jumping is different than the big island. The big island is a little bit more rustic. The canyon's a little steeper. But it's my favorite island because no matter what you want to do, if you like stargazing, you can go up to the Onizuka Center at about 6,000 feet. They have telescopes every night. You'll like that a lot too. And then also, like I said, the coffee tour we like. We go to the beaches all the time. But, you know, I say, you know, what we do is we're one day beach day, one day. Oh, and snorkeling. You got to snorkel.
Yeah, we will. We used to go to Lanai and snorkel off Lanai and we're so looking forward to going, but I've never been to the Big Island, but I've heard it's beautiful. But I wanted to get it from a veteran here who's been there
You
for
go
some
to
tips.
two steps. It's called Two Steps, you know, by Hananau Bay, Kealakua Bay, and you don't have to pay. Don't pay for a snorkel boat trip, because all they do is come around and go to the same place where you can walk into the water. And so, go to Two Steps.
Okay,
it's pretty safe. You'll like it.
All right.
Yeah. So
we are flat out of time, Bob. But I appreciate
I'm jealous.
Your tips.
I'll
as
see
well.
You.
See, we don't just get stock tips and travel tips here. Bob Kudla of Trade Genius, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Bob, thank you very much.
Yep, I'll see you later. Bye.